480 million miles from the sun, the planet Jupiter dominates space without mercy. Obscenely large, eternally cold, its baleful red eye seemingly focused on a tiny orbiting moon. A moon that is also the focus of our story. The moon is Jupiter 5, currently home to some 51 scientists and researchers from Earth. Among them, Edward Angelsey, a man whose body is trapped in a wheelchair. But whose mind is free to travel without limits. Sci-Fi Radio presents an adaptation of Paul Anderson's short story, Call Me Joe.
Computer, close Scilab door and activate VDR.
Voice, data, recorder activated.
Mark.
Date, 9-3-2152. Time, 2-0-1.25 GMT. User.
Angel Z. Edward.
Thank you. Recording voice data.
Okay. My ESP tells me that Joe is starting to wake up, so I'm beginning the psychic link procedure. Psi-beam to full amplitude. All frequencies saturated. And resonator coils powered up. Lowering S-projector helmet. Energizing K-tube. Now.
Late accomplished. I'm in Joe's brain. I am Joe's brain. Feels like we slept well. A little bit of kink in my tail, though. That's better. I'm inside my underground lair. I can see some morning light coming down the entrance tunnel. I'm going outside. Rain last night. Lots of methane puddles. Suits me fine, of course. Today, I'm going to take my smelter to the ice mountains. I'll try to quarry some water. It's a heavy mineral down here, and try to cast my first axe head. I'm anxious to have real tools. There's only so much I can do with teeth and claws and tail. Not much left of the chase ship I came down with. It's almost completely corroded already. Weak earth metals. No match in the surface of Jupiter. I lost track of the time. The evening storm has started. It's a bad one. Ammonia dust everywhere. Blinding. Sodium explosion. Got to keep moving. I see the remnants of the J-ship now. Not much further to the tunnel. Piece of flying debris. Something like a tree torn up by the roots. Very blown out of sight. I'm leaving. Not bad. Oh no. Entering the tunnel. I didn't finish the accent. I'll try it again tomorrow. I'm hungry. Still one decapod left in my food bin. Have me ask that. Day. I'm tired. My muscles ache. Time to disconnect and let Joe's body get some sleep. No! Not again! Isolation in the K-tube! Isolation!
K-tube malfunction. K-tube malfunction.
Malfunction acknowledged. Raise helmet. K-tube burnout again. I have to put in a spare before I lose ESP contact with Joe completely. There. I can feel Joe in the back of my mind again. He's down there. Another burned out K-tube. Why? There aren't many replacements left. And when that last K-tube goes dead, the whole Jupiter project dies with it. But tomorrow, our science authority expert arrives. Expert. Computer, terminate recording.
Acknowledged. Caution. Broken glass on side lab floor.
To hell with the broken glass. To hell with everyone.
Airlock cycling and complete. You may now disembark from the ship.
I can't think of anything which would give me greater pleasure. Oh, hello.
Welcome to Jupiter 5. You are Dr. Cornelius.
Jan Cornelius, yes.
Is there someone in that airlock with you? I heard you talk.
To your computer, I'm afraid. After 4 months in space, I'll gladly talk to anyone.
Well, you can begin with me, Arn Viken.
Very glad to meet you.
And you, how was your flight?
Perfectly awful, thank you. I've never been farther from Earth than a short hop to a comfortable lunar resort. 4 months in a cramped ship without so much as a viewport. Well, I know now what prisons must have been like. And the landing.
Tough on your stomach?
I would never eat solid food again.
Well, considering the food out here, you may find that a blessing. I can see the view from our greenhouse.
Oh, yes. I'm told it is quite spectacular.
It's this way.
Yeah?
You know, Dr. Cornelius, you come highly recommended by both the Psionics Corporation and the Federated Science Authority.
Oh, you might say I have a certain expertise.
I might say you're the top psionics expert alive. You'd better be. It's critical that we solve this problem with the K-tubes. We lost another one just yesterday.
Well, I'm quite sure it's nothing major. Frankly, it shouldn't take more than a few days to resolve. Yet I'm forced to be waiting out here at the far end of nowhere. Oh, no offense.
I'll take it.
Waiting here a full year until the next ship comes.
You may need more of that year than you think, Doctor. After all of my time here, I've yet to see any problem, however complicated, which, if you looked at it the right way, didn't become still more complicated.
Oh.
Here's the greenhouse. A word of warning. Jupiter will be directly overhead. Now, when we go in, look down at your feet and walk straight to one of the railings. And then get a good grip before you look up.
Really, Viken, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, suit yourself.
I have no trace of acrophobia. Oh, my God.
Here, hold on to the rail.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I have no idea. I've seen pictures, but...
Sure. Pictures don't convey it. The sheer size, the bands of color, spotted with the shadows of moons as big as planets, whirlwinds as broad as Earth itself.
It seems to be falling on us.
Yes. That's an illusion, of course. All of that mass above us and practically no gravity here.
You men, you live out here all alone. This.
That is why we're here. The Jupiter 5 station is a wonderful place to do research. All the facilities, hand-picked colleagues, no distractions. We don't even have administrators.
I thought you were in charge here?
No, I'm just your welcoming committee. Every man here is engaged in research, first, last, and always. I've been out here for 3 cycles, 12 years altogether. I'm a physicist specializing in the solid state at ultra-high pressures. Plenty of it to be observed down there. Only 3 times Earth's gravity on the surface, but the atmospheric pressure is... It's almost unthinkable. Hydrogen and methane become liquids. Water is a metal. We can't even design equipment to measure the pressure. We just make educated guesses from Joe's observations.
Joe? You're artificial Jovian.
Pseudo Jovian, please. He was designed for life on Jupiter by bioengineers and genetically grown... But he's flesh and blood all the same. Use the word artificial in front of Ed Angelsy and you'll likely get run down with his wheelchair.
Angelsy is one of your psi controllers?
Our one and only. He was a biophysicist stationed at Luna until an accident crushed him up. Nothing below his chest will ever work again. He's on full support from his wheelchair. Oxygenation, dialysis, manipulating servos, the works. Ed's doing a great job, though. His natural ESP is near the top of the scale. Took to using the S-projector right away. If it weren't for those unstable K-tubes.
Unstable. Yet the K-tubes work perfectly on Luna, Mars, Venus, everywhere in here. Of course, the Cybians themselves will be tricky. And sometimes you can get unwanted feedback, but no. No, I'll get the facts before I'm theorized. Can I meet with Angelsy now?
Well, he's linking right now. We never disturb him.
Oh.
Well, perhaps you'd like to see the xenobiology lab, the birthplace of our pseudo-Jovians.
Yes, fine.
Dr. Cornelius, if we're leaving, you'll have to let go of that railing.
Oh, yes. I don't know how you can ever get used to this view.
You don't. No one does.
And to think, somewhere down there, your Ed Angelsy may be looking up at us through alien eyes.
You. Up above. Help me.
I had no idea that a research station built on a small moon could be so easy to get lost in.
You wouldn't be lost for long, Dr. Cornelius. Just say, computer, location.
Destination.
Xenobiology lab.
The xenobiology lab may be entered through the bright red door located 3.6 meters north of you. Do you require hard copy directions?
No. I think even I can find my way that far.
Come on. You may want to turn your collar up. The xenobiology lab is usually cool.
Oh, it is a bit chilly.
Well, the growth tanks radiate cold. Would you like a jacket?
No, I'm fine. Tell me how Joe got his start here.
Well, I'm not a biologist by any means, but I can give you the general picture. Then Lopez or Matsumoto can answer any of your specific questions in detail.
Excellent.
Well, then, where to start? Ah, with Matsumoto's paperweight.
Uh-huh.
Here, it's a model of Joe.
Amazing. Mm. Something like the mythical centaur. Slate blue skin, hairless, equine back and leg. The tail almost reptilian. It's functional?
Very. Heavy enough to give stability, but flexible enough for grasping.
Hmm. Heavily muscled throughout. Human torso and arms. Very human face. Male, I see.
Of course. Perhaps you don't understand. Joe is the complete pseudo-Jovian. As far as we can tell, the final model with all the bugs worked out. Able to live, breathe, and breed once we send down the rest of the colony.
These tanks, they contain the other pseudos?
Yes, 10 females and 4 males. Each raised to physical maturity inside a pressure tank that simulates the Jovian atmosphere. Full-grown adults who have been sedated from the moment of their inception.
That's necessary?
Absolutely. And not just because of their confinement. Until now, all S-projector research in the solar system has consisted of psi controllers operating through lower forms of life. Animals, insects, even microorganisms. Hosts with no ego, no self-awareness.
Yes, I'm aware of that. A human mind cannot be entered and controlled using the S-projector. Mm. The mind's subconscious defenses are too strong to permit the intrusion. Even a trained operator such as myself can only listen in to another human's thoughts, but control is impossible.
Was impossible. These pseudos have never awakened, never had a conscious thought or physical sensation. Their brains are perfectly formed, better than human in some ways, but as empty and malleable as a fetus. No ego at all.
Of course.
From the instant they're born on the surface of Jupiter, every waking moment is shared with a psi controller. The pseudo is never free to develop an independent ego, so there are no conflicts between host and controller. The perfect team. Ed Angelsy and Joe are the first to attempt it.
And these other pseudos, you intend to create an entire race of puppets?
Oh, no, out of the question. Just enough puppets to accomplish our research goals. The others will breed and colonize freely. A new generation will be born, naturally, and become farmers, hunters, miners, artisans, the works.
Mm.
We'll create a Jovian civilization supporting a few key members. A priesthood, if you will. Priests who are ESP-controlled, like Joe, to take readings, perform experiments, and tell us what we want to know.
Hmm. When do you plan to send the rest of the colony?
Well, as soon as you solve the K-tube problem. We don't dare move until then. We're not on an unlimited budget out here. And the cost of getting just one pseudo to the surface is astronomical. There's a nightmare world down there. The cold, the darkness, the pressure. A host of destructive chemical reactions we don't understand. And an atmosphere forever churning with storms.
That must make landing a ship very difficult.
Difficult. Dr. Cornelius, when we put a pseudo into a J-ship, it's the sturdiest, most utterly powerful spacecraft ever created. Computer-controlled and loaded with every safety device the human mind can conceive of to protect a multi-billion credit piece of precision equipment. And what happens? Half the ships never reach the surface at all. A storm snatches them and throws them away. Or they collide with a floating chunk of I-7, a small version of the Red Spot. Or, so help me, what passes for a flock of birds rams one and stows it in. As for the 50% which do land, it's a one-way trip. We don't even try to bring them back. If the stresses coming down haven't sprung something, corrosion has doomed them anyway. Hydrogen at Jovian pressure does funny things to metals. It cost a total of about 5 billion credits to get Joe, one pseudo, to the planet's surface. If we're lucky, each additional pseudo will cost a couple of billion more.
Well, I'm feeling a bit of that Jovian pressure myself at the moment. It seems that based on my skills, you're betting a fortune.
No, Doctor. We're betting a world.
Paging Iron, Viking. Paging Iron, Viking.
Viking.
You wish to be notified upon completion of S-projector activity.
That means that Angelsy could see us in the Psi-Lab now. Computer, was there a K2 burnout today?
Negative. Standard disengagement sequence successful.
Good. That means that Angelsy may even be willing to talk to us.
He's difficult to get along with?
Landing a ship on Jupiter is difficult. Getting along with Ed Angelsy is a little harder.
I see.
And one thing, his appearance is a bit shocking the first time. A sick shell of a man in a life support wheelchair. But his mind is as sharp as his tongue.
Angelsy, do come in.
Thank you.
Ed, I'd like you to meet Dr. Jan Cornelius, the...
The door-to-door S-projector repairman?
Yes, I've been expecting you. A slight multi-billion credit problem with this gadget here. You did bring a screwdriver, right?
Well, I...
Ed, that's not called for.
I'm sorry, Arm. And you too, Cornelius. Joe and I had a long day down there. He's sleeping now. I'll have to get some sleep soon, too.
That's all right. I'll be brief. I really just wanted to introduce myself, and we'll have plenty of opportunity when you're rested to begin the interviews and psychological screenings.
The what,
Ed?
No, you're not going to look into my head. You're here to look at this machine, right?
I'm here to look for a problem wherever it is. Now, no one's accusing you of any failure. My God, you're accomplishing something incredible here.
Oh, now I'm a miracle worker.
Maybe you are, but the miracle requires both the machine and the mind, and I'll study both. I'll just leave the extra K-tubes I brought and get back on the ship for Earth.
How many K-tubes?
Five.
Stay, Doctor. Fix the machine. Ask me your questions, whatever it takes. Any friend of Arne's is a friend of mine.
So that's why I keep losing friends.
That's why. Okay, Doctor. Any ideas about what's wrong?
Well, I have some working hypotheses, but it's a complex problem. It could be the apparatus, the psi beams, the effects of transmission through the Jovian core. It could even be Joe. I hardly know anything about him yet.
Let me tell you about Joe, Doctor. He's down there without much more than his bare hands. We started with no more knowledge than that he could probably eat the local life. Now, he has to spend nearly all his time hunting for food. It's a miracle he's come as far as he has in these few months. Made a shelter, grown familiar with the immediate region, begun on metallurgy. Hold it.
Ed?
What is it?
Shut up! Joe's waking. I can sense it with my ESP. Get out of here. Computer, lower S-projector helmet. Now.
I don't understand what...
Get out. Now. Computer, energize K2.
K2
Malfunction.
Wait. Goodness.
What is it?
Change the pronoun. Take you, please. Stairs in the cat.
There, that's got it.
Angels, what's wrong?
Joe didn't wake up naturally. Something alive just crawled into the lair with me. I'm in trouble down there. Computer, energize K-tube.
Ah, psychic loop completed.
Dr. Cornelius, still at the console, I see.
Arnie, come in. Oh, so many circuits to check, so many factors to consider.
Coffee?
Oh, yes, please. Delightful to find you've got real coffee out here. It's quite a luxury. I can't pull enough strings to get it on Earth.
It's more than a luxury. It's a psychological necessity. A totally non-synthetic reminder of our home planet. Helps prevent cabin fever.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that. Unusual aftertaste, though.
Oh, it's the water. Recycled wastewater.
Oh.
So, have you found out why the S-projector is blowing K-tubes?
No, but I'm eliminating a lot of possibilities. Look at this diagnostic console, Arne. Screen after screen of circuits. All indicators green. All systems working perfectly.
Which means?
Which means the problem is not mechanical. I'm sure of it.
And if the problem isn't in the S-projector, it's in Ed Angels' mind.
Quite possibly.
It's not going to accept that.
We'll see. I'm going to the Psi-Lab to talk with him now. Would you care to join me?
Oh, certainly. I wouldn't miss this for the world. Any world.
Dr. Cornelius, Arne, come in.
Thank you.
Well, you're in a good mood, Ed. How did it go down there today?
We made an axe. Cast it out of solid water. Harder than steel.
Congratulations.
Great news.
It's a start. It's a good start. Now then, Cornelius, why don't you make it a perfect day and tell me what's wrong with this machine?
I've finished my tests. There is nothing wrong with the S-projector.
Nothing wrong? Tell me why the K-tubes are blowing. You're the so-called expert.
Angelsy, listen. The K-tube is the heart of the S-projector. It amplifies your natural psionic pulses, uses them to modulate the carrier wave, and shoots the whole beam down at Joe. It also picks up Joe's resonating impulses and amplifies them for your benefit.
Spare me the lecture, Doctor.
It's only rehearsing the obvious, because every now and then it is the obvious answer which is hardest to see. Maybe it isn't the K-tube which is misbehaving. Maybe it's you.
No.
Nothing personal intended, but the subconscious is a tricky beast. Now suppose, way down underneath,
You don't want to be on Jupiter. It's a terrifying, life-threatening environment. Your subconscious may not understand that Joe's death does not mean your own.
Go on.
Subconsciously, you feel fear about the whole business. Now, that fear is amplified and sent to Joe. It becomes his fear. You read that fear, amplify it, send it back, amplify it again, send it back, again and again, back and forth. A feedback loop of pure fear being amplified by the K-tube until the oscillations are out of control. Now, you should be thankful the tube does burn out. Otherwise, it might be your brain.
Nice idea, Doctor, really. You see, it doesn't fit all the data, you see. I like it down there. I like being Joe. Oh, don't judge Jupiter by my notes. Wind velocity, temperatures, mineral properties. It's meaningless. What I can't put into words is how Jupiter looks through a Jovian's infrared seeing eye.
Different, I should think.
Very different. Everything that is cold and poisonous and gloomy to us. Rain. Imagine walking on the slopes of a mountain like polished metal, with a clean red flame exploding above you and thunder laughing in the ground. Imagine walking in a forest of dark, coppery trees and seeing a quick red flash, the life radiation of some shy animal. Imagine walking, just walking, without a wheelchair. Imagine being strong. You're wrong, Cornelius. I'm never afraid to be Joe.
I've never seen Ed cry before. Never dreamed he could. He's under terrific strain.
Almost unbearable. But I believe him. He's not afraid of Jupiter.
Which brings us back to where we started.
No. No, it brings me to a second theory, which I hope is wrong. And the only way to test it is to send down the rest of the colony in J-ships.
What? Why?
Now, I'll get to that. Just hear me out. I think our problem is that Joe has become an intelligent being with his own ego, his own personality.
Well, that's impossible. It has been inside Joe's brain every waking moment of his life. How could Joe develop an independent consciousness?
Think about it. Joe's brain was as empty as a newborn's and as hungry for knowledge. And every time Angelsy would link through the S-projector, his every thought, every memory association would become part of Joe's neural pattern. Be permanently retained.
Hmm. Makes sense. So, if I follow you, Joe would eventually have a mind exactly like Ed's, right?
Exactly. A duplication that neither Angelsy or Joe could possibly be aware of. But there's more.
Which is?
Mentally, Joe has become Angelsy's mental equal, a virtual twin. But Joe's brain is superior to a human brain. Your genetic engineers thought of that. His body's stronger, healthier. So when Joe and Angelsy are linked by the S-projector, Joe may well be the dominant mind.
You're saying Joe could eventually control Ed?
I think they could be engaged in a mental war for dominance they're not even aware of. A war that Joe will surely win. Subconsciously, I think Angelsy is aware of it. He's not afraid of Jupiter. He's afraid of losing himself. And that's the fear which blows out the K-tubes.
Oh, what does this have to do with landing the colony?
I'll show you. Look here.
An S-projector helmet?
A spare, which I brought from Earth. Now, I intend to patch it into the Psi-Lab from here and listen to Angelsy's thoughts while he's linking with Joe, but I want him distracted. He's been waiting for the colony ships to land for a long time. It would get his full attention.
No. It's too great a gamble. What if you're wrong?
If I'm wrong, you're no worse off than you are now. We've just moved the schedule up a bit. But if I'm right, then any future Psi controller will become a Jovian. A monster with two bodies and one mind, with the human body being the unimportant auxiliary one. Now, no Psi controller will volunteer for that. And your Jupiter project will be finished. We've got to know.
So, we risk everything. All right.
We'll do it. Looks like Joe is going to get some company.
Initiating J ship ignition sequence. Mark. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Well, they're off, Cornelius. All 14 ships. We'll be tracking them as they try to fight their way to the surface.
Each containing a superior living being. Sleeping, but with a superb brain. Tragic if you lose even one.
If your theory is right, we'll lose them all, one way or another.
J ships entering Jovian atmosphere. 14 ships descending. 14 ships descending. 14. 13 ships descending. 13 ships descending.
It started.
All right. Angel Z is controlling Joe. They'll be fully occupied looking for landing ships. Now I'm going to put on the second S projector helmet. It's time we had some answers.
Doctor, how would you know who's in control?
Quite simple, really. The S projector helmet has filters preset to the patterns of human thought. Now nothing else can be received. I'll tune in to Angel Z and listen. If he's still in control of his own thoughts, I'll hear them. If Joe, a non-human, is in control, I won't be able to hear anything.
12 ships descending.
I'll need your help in my quarters.
Let's do it.
All right, the helmet's in place. Powered up. Filter set. When I tell you to, plug the connector directly into the patch bay.
Right.
Now. But where am I?
Get out of my mind. Cornelius. I should have known you tried to throw my thoughts. Let's have a look at yours.
My mind.
I'll warn you once. Don't ever come back in the silo, understand? K-tubes or not, I don't want to ever see you again. Now sign off. Leave me alone. The first ship will be landing in minutes. I may be a cripple, but I can still take you apart, cell by cell.
You a cripple? You? Joe Angel Z?
What? What do you mean?
Don't you understand? You know how the S projector works. You know I could have probed Angel Z's mind and Angel Z's brain without making enough interference to be noticed. And I could not have probed a wholly non-human mind at all. Nor could it have been aware of me. The filters would not have passed such a signal. Yet, you felt me in the first fractional second. It can only mean a human mind in a non-human brain. Angel Z, you're not the half corpse in a wheelchair anymore. You are Joe. Joe Angel Z.
I'll be damned. You're right. So I won't be needing that human body anymore. And I don't need you in my brain, Cornelius. Go.
Viking, he's coming around. I've got to get back to Angel Z.
Thanks, Doc. Cornelius. Cornelius, can you hear me?
Huh? I don't.
Oh, my head.
Don't worry. You'll be okay. But you had a close call.
The ships. How many made it down?
9. 2 males and 7 females. Enough to start a colony.
Good. Joe will like that.
Joe will like it? What about Ed Angel Z? He's dying in that medibed over there. What the hell went wrong down there?
Viken, we're losing Angel Z.
Save him, Doc.
No, let him go. You can't save a man who's decided not to live.
Decided? How could he have decided anything? He's been unconscious ever since we pulled him out of the S projector.
It was decided before that. As a matter of fact, that body on the medibed no longer has a mind. I know. I was there.
He's gone.
Shut that thing off.
It was nothing anyone could do. The shock. Too deep.
Shut it off. Sorry, Doc. Well, I guess this winds up the project. We'll never get another Psi controller.
You were right, Cornelius.
No. Viking, no, I was wrong. This isn't the end. It's the beginning.
What do you mean?
Ed Angelsey is alive. Or at least his mind is alive down there in Joe's body. The S-projector pseudo-relationship is different than we ever dreamed. Joe never did have a mind of his own. It was Angelsey all along. The S-projector didn't just create the illusion that he was in Joe's body on Jupiter. He was in Joe's body. A stronger, more perfect body than anything in nature. Naturally, he'd want to stay in that body. Anyone would. And that's why the K-tubes were burning out. Not because Angelsey was afraid to stay on Jupiter. He was afraid to come back.
And other Psi controllers? We'd lose them, too?
It's unavoidable. The mind will naturally be drawn to the superior brain. Your Psi controllers will eventually become Jovians and discard their human bodies.
Then why would anyone in their right mind volunteer to control a pseudo?
To get a new life. The old, the sick, the hopelessly crippled. They can be reborn in healthy Jovian bodies.
My God.
Who knows, Arne? When you and I grow old, maybe we'd like to enjoy an extra lifetime on Jupiter. A hard, lusty, stormy kind of life, granted. Dangerous, brawling, violent. But life as no human has lived in centuries. Oh, yes, you'll have no trouble finding Jovians.
And Joe? What about Joe?
I'm sure you'll be hearing from him as soon as he can build a radio. After all, he's still at Angelsey. Still dedicated to the project. He'll have a lot to talk about. But for now, I'm sure he's occupied with other matters.
This J-ship hatch should have opened by now. Must be an emergency release here somewhere. A female. Please, come out. Come to me. Afraid of anything. This is your new home. Your beautiful new home. Call me Joe.
Our cast for Call Me Joe featured Gary Moody as Ed Angelsey and Joe, Rick Spiegel as Arne Viking, and Bryce Armstrong as Jan Cornelius. Other voices were Greg Loso and Gloria Hocking. The original story, Call Me Joe, was written by Paul Anderson and adapted for Sci-Fi Radio by Stephen White. Our director was John O. Williams. All music and sound effects were created by Ron DiIulio at the Studio of Audiovisual Associates in Euless, Texas. The series producers are Kevin Singer and Ron DiIulio. Support for Sci-Fi Radio has been provided by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is James Edward Kerr, inviting you to join me soon for our next venture into the imaginary worlds of Sci-Fi Radio.